Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, it's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be able to come back into your homes once again. Just lift up the name of Jesus. This is Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood, reaching the world for Christ. And our subject tonight is the handwritings on the wall. So, you know, if you want to be a part of this tonight, call in on 310-742-1759. That's call in on 310-742-1759. We'll put you on the line with us, and we'll just all obey the Lord and worship the Lord in spirit and truth. So go ahead and call in on 310-742-1759. So it's good to be able to come back into your homes once again just to reach the world for Christ. So I'm on the, are you ready to sing a song? Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Tim to sing a song here in a minute. He gets it pretty there. So just worship the Lord with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. 770, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at. Praise the Lord. Seven, seven, oh.
Yeah, this is Brother John from Thompson, Georgia.
Okay, praise the Lord, Brother John. Glad you called in there. So let me get this other call in here, and we'll get you on the line there.
All righty.
937, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at there.
Yeah, this is Brother and Sister Green up here in Springboro, Ohio.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate you calling in there.
We're just listening in here tonight.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate you calling in. I've asked him to sing a song here, then Brother John called in first, so I'll go back to him, and if he wants to go or you, either one of you want to go, we'll let you go. But we got a great, great praise report there to turn in here just in a minute after Tim sings. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The Prince of the Lord is here. The Prince of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. Oh, the presence of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. Every blind drum and trumpet sound the alarm. Because the Lord is in the temple with everybody bound. Let all the people praise Him now, the Lord is here. A blessing from the Lord is here. A blessing from the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. A blessing from the Lord is here, oh, a blessing from the Lord is here. Everybody blow the trumpet and sound the alarm. Because the Lord is in the temple, but everybody bow. Let all the people praise Him now, the Lord. Presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my blessing right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my blessing right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my blessing right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my blessing right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord. And I'm gonna get my blessing. I feel it, the presence. And I'm gonna get it right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord. And I'm gonna get my blessing. I feel it, the presence. And I'm gonna get my blessing right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord. And I'm gonna get my blessing. The presence, and I'm gonna get it. Can't you see Him working on the outside? I can feel Him moving on the inside. The time is in your end, and cast your cares on Him. He'll open up the wind, you pour you out a blessing. Cause when the Lord steps in, He brings everything you need. Healing and power and victory. So it's all up to you, whatever you need Him to do. Just trust Him and believe, and then the blessing you'll receive. Well, I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my blessing. I feel it, the presence, and I'm gonna get my blessing right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my blessing. I feel it, the presence, and I'm gonna get it. Right now I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my blessing. Right now I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my blessing. Right now I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my blessing. Right now the presence of the Lord is here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I praise the Lord for that. I thank God that the presence of the Lord is here. I'm going to let, Sister Joanne, you got any prayer requests? If you have, you can go ahead and make them known, and we'll just turn in our prayer requests before we get started there tonight, and we'll pray over them here after a while.
She said she didn't have any tonight, Brother Yearwood.
Okay. All right. Have you got any prayer requests there, Brother John?
Just remember my wife and things are going pretty good. We, it's on upswing, and I just praise the Lord for what God is doing. And so things are looking pretty good there. God's healing prayer. So, Lord, can you remember that? Sister Betty has my grandson who has, two types of cancer. My other kid is things are going pretty good.
Praise the Lord. You're breaking up just a little bit right there, Brother John, but that's all right. We still
all
got
right.
them there. I'm going to let Betty read these prayer requests over and the praise report and everything. Praise the Lord.
A lady by the name of Carolina lost her grandson, and she's having a hard time dealing with it, so let's remember her tonight. And Keith Green and David Keller have cancer. Let's remember them. Pastor Paul Fritz needs a healing. He had stents put in his heart. This has been a few weeks back, and they had to take him back, yesterday, and he's still not doing no good. They've had to put him on oxygen and everything, so let's remember him. He's a pastor up here at a Church of God. And a baby named Avery Joe needs a miracle. She was born with some kind of a disease, and she's been in the hospital ever since. So let's remember her. And Charles Bryant, in Mississippi, needs a miracle. He's got liver cancer and I think it's colon cancer, and he's needing a miracle. Remember Sister Gladys tonight. She's not going to be able to make it with us tonight. She's babysitting, and she's needing a healing from where she fell. She had to go to the emergency room the other night. She was hurting so bad. And she needs God to move on some other situations that she's going through. Wanda and Rufus Bivens need healing in their body. Steve Woods needs healing in his legs. Glenda Talent broke her leg, needs healing in that. A two-year-old baby that had spine surgery that her and her mother was in a car accident during this winter storm. Let's remember to continue to pray for that baby that she'll get complete healing. And Kevin Miller family and his mother, Pat Miller, has cancer, needs a miracle. Dolores Garcia is having trouble with her job, and her mother-in-law is still needing healing in her leg. And like Brother John said, let's remember his two grandsons. One of them has two types of cancer, and the other one has a disease. And let's remember Sister Debbie tonight and Brother Eddie Bolton. And haven't heard no more whether he went and got the MRI yet or not. And Sister Debbie Eggenberg that has stage 4 lymph cancer and lung cancer. And they took out a cancer that was the size of a 4-month-old baby. Unborn baby, let's remember her. And let's remember Sister Gladys' son that has asthma. I think that's about all the ones for healing, that need healing. We got a praise report here. Everybody's been praying for Fred Brannon that was down in the bed, and he was on his deathbed. He wasn't able to get up or nothing. He was just laying there.
Cancer.
He had cancer, and 6 o'clock on Saturday morning, his wife said that he woke up rejoicing and saying, "I'm healed, I'm healed."
Oh.
And she said, since then, he's been sitting up on the bed, eating strawberries, mangoes, broth, and yogurt. So let's just remember Brother Fred, that God will continue to strengthen him. And Brother Fred is just rejoicing in the Lord, him and his wife. And she said during that time, that first song that Tim had sung, "The presence of the Lord is here," she said it filled her house, and that's all she could sing was, "The presence of the Lord is here." And she said that song really ministered to her during that time. And she said to continue to pray for her and Brother Fred. They've been rejoicing for the last 4 days.
Amen. Brother Fred just needs to gain his strength back, and I believe by God's help he's going to gain it back, because God done took him 2-4 to let him down now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. So, whichever one, okay, let's just go ahead and pray for the request right now. If there's any more come in, why, we'll pray for them. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus,
God
is coming in agreement right now. Father, Lord, we just praise you, God, for these requests, Father. Lord, that you're going to touch and you're going to heal. Father, Lord, as you touched Brother Fred, God, you brought him up. Lord, that you healed his cancer. Father, you can heal all the others, God. And Lord, that you can touch every need and every request, Father, that's out there, Lord. You know him, God. We just ask you, Father, that you would just move upon each and every one of them. Lord, that you will save, sanctify, and fill with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, them that's sick and afflicted, God, that you will touch them, that you will heal them, God, and make them whole. And Lord, God, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Father, for it all, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all. In Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise. Brother John?
Yeah, bro.
Go ahead if you want to, since you're the first one called in, or whichever one of you want to go, just go ahead and obey the Lord.
Go ahead and let Brother Chisholm. I'm ready, but let him go. Go ahead and go.
Okay. Brother Green, you and Sister Joanne, one of you go ahead there.
Okay, she's telling me to go ahead, so... I understand tonight that it's about the handwriting on the wall in the book of Daniel.
Amen.
And I've not turned over there yet. I'm not going to read that probably, but I tell you, that old king had a surprise when that hand come out and wrote on that wall. I tell you, God's sending a letter today, and he's sending it throughout the world. And it's not just to a king in a certain nation, but it's to all the kingdoms of the world. And he's spreading this gospel. And he told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we've been trying to do that. The church has for 2,000 years. He said, "I'll build my church." And he said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And he asked Peter, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And he asked, I think it was some of the disciples, and they said, well, some say John the Baptist, and some say Elias, and different ones. But he asked Peter, said, "Who do you say that I am?" And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And, you know, that's what this message is about tonight, that God's trying to reach the world, and he's sending out... he's sending us across the airwaves with the message of salvation and the message of healing and deliverance. And he's sending his missionaries and his evangelists, prophets, teachers, pastors, and different ones, and lay members are going out. knocking on doors and talking to people and passing out tracts, and they're trying to get this news out that God has sent the man. And I'm glad that I've got a Bible today that I can look into, and I know it's a love letter from God. I know that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and you know, people are still going down the broad road, and they're not paying any attention. Many of them are not paying attention to the ministers of God, and He sent them into the different countries, and many of them have died by the hands of wicked men. And you know, we hear today that in some countries they're cutting Christians' heads off, and they're putting them in prison, locking them up, and they're trying to shut up this message. But this message is a message of love, and it's the love of God that causes us to go forth and do what we do. The Bible says that faith worketh by love, and so it's not any gain of our own personal gain, except for the fact that we know that one day we're going to, after this life is over, that we're going to a better place, and we're going to find a place someday where the roses never fade, where the rivers never run dry, and the drought don't come, and the snow probably don't fly. I don't know, there might be some snow on the mountains. I ain't sure about that. But I tell you, heaven's going to be a beautiful place, and I wouldn't want to miss it. I wouldn't want to miss heaven, because if you miss it, God's got it wrote in the book that whosoever's not found written in the book of life would have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone. And He says there that tells us there in His word that there'll never be an exit out of that place, that there's no exits once you go there. But I tell you, right now is the time to take the exit off of that road to hell. You know, I was going down one day to a county fair, and I was walking down through there, and I heard music playing and song playing, and the song was "I'm on the highway to hell," and it was singing over and over. They were saying that, and I thought, I can't believe this. Surely that ain't what they're saying. I thought I was hearing them wrong, but they were singing that song, "I'm on the highway to hell." And it, you know, people will tell you they're going there, and they'll make light of it, and they'll say their friends are going to be there. But I won't tell you, you won't have no friends in that place. I won't tell you, if you've got a friend, you need to get on the Lord's side and try to get him to go to heaven with you, because we're getting ready to leave out of here. Praise God. And I thank the Lord that He's given us this word, that we can put our confidence in the word of God. We're walking by faith and not by sight. And you know, I know Daniel was taken into Babylon at an early age, and he probably didn't have no churches to go to over there where he was at. And he lived to be an old man over there in that country. And I think they was there for 70 years. And finally, Israel was let back to go to their country, was released, and their captivity was over. But, you know, while they was there, they made an impact on those countries that they were in, that country of Babylon. They made the king had to stand up one day and take notice when he saw those three Hebrew children in that furnace of fire. And he looked in and seen the fourth man. And you know, the Bible said in the book of Hebrews that they, through faith, they subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness. And they had their dead raised to life again. Some of them were tortured, not accepting deliverance. And it tells of many things that they've done by faith. And I'll tell you, you know, we're still living by faith. Daniel had to have that faith that was, the Bible said, once delivered unto the saints. And we're to contend for it there in the book of Jude. The Bible tells us, because there's men coming down the path that's got false doctrine, and Many false prophets are in the land, and I tell you, they're watering down the gospel and the handwriting's on the wall. Praise God. And, that's the message tonight. The handwriting is on the wall. I'll say a little bit about that, but I'll tell you, that handwriting was judgment that day that came to that king, and I'll tell you, the judgment is set. The Bible said there in the book of Daniel, I believe it's the 7th chapter, that the judgment is set. And I'll tell you, one of these days, God's going to judge this world by that man, Christ Jesus. We find over there in the book of Acts, the Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being. But one day, he's going to cut this wicked generation. It's going to be destroyed, and he destroyed it once by water, but he said it'll be fire the next time. So I don't want to be cut off from God. I'll tell you, that'd be a horrible thing if you thought you could never be saved and you would never have another opportunity to call on the Lord and find out what good mercies he has toward us. I've been healed of different things, and I know tonight that he's a healer. Different times, my body's been messed up different ways, and the Lord came by and healed me. I went a couple different times to the doctor and got medicine and went on sick leave. And you know what? The Lord was the one that healed me. I took the doctor's medicine and wasn't no better. And you know what? The Lord, preacher, come by my house one time, and I was in the bed sick. He come in and read the 103rd Psalm to me and prayed a little prayer. He hadn't been gone but just a little while, and I felt that healing coming into my body. I felt that sickness going out. And I'll tell you, God loves you and I tonight. He's a God of love and a God of mercy, and he's a long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I'll tell you, some people say, well, how come God don't just kill the devil and kill the bad people and just, you know, heaven come down now? Why don't God do that? Well, God ain't doing that because God's wanting to populate heaven. And the longer Amen. He'll wait, the more he can get in. Praise God, because he's long-suffering, not willing that we perish, but he wants us to be saved. And he didn't make the hell for people, his creation. He made it for the devil and his angels, the ones that followed Lucifer in the fall. And in that rebellion, when he tried to overtake God and he tried to overcome the Heavenly Father, but I'll tell you, he's on the losing side tonight, and he's going to one day be in that lake of fire. But I'll tell you tonight, we don't need to go to that place because it wasn't prepared for us. But God is long-suffering. Like I was saying, he is not willing that one person would end up in hell and in the lake of fire. He's waiting, and the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, wherein 8 souls, the Bible said, was saved. And I got to thinking about that. I thought, why 8? Looks like more than that could have got saved. And they could have, because the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So if Noah was a preacher of righteousness, then he was preaching. He was preaching something to those people for all them many years. He said, yet my spirit shall not always strive with man, yet his days shall be 120 years. And, you know, I think Noah started building that ark at it tells you there, but I think he started building that ark before his sons was ever born. But we won't get into that, but that's just my opinion. But I could be wrong, but I'll tell you what, I'm not wrong about some of these things I read in the Bible, because I know there's a heaven, I know there's a hell, and I know there's a way to get to heaven. And you'll have to get off that broad road if you're going to go there, and you're going to have to find that straight and that narrow way. I tell you, we got the handwriting on the wall tonight. We got the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible, especially if you're in the United States of America, you can buy you one. You can go down to the thrift store, somewhere like that. I just bought a real good Bible for 99 cents, and it was a study Bible, King James Version. I'll tell you what, there ain't too many people around here they've got enough money to get them a Bible, praise God. And I'll tell you, we need to pray for those that don't have Bibles, because they need the Word of God. And I'm just glad I'm saved tonight. I'm going to turn it over here to Sister Joanna.
Praise the Lord. Praise. Good to be with you guys, Brother Yearwood, Sister Betty, and I just love the Lord, and I know God's getting ready to do some great things in His church, in His body tonight. The handwriting is on the wall is the subject tonight, and I won't read all of that in the book of Daniel chapter 5, but I do want to go there in the beginning part of that chapter and then just a little ways down. I'm sure there's going to be more said about this. Praise the Lord. And we're talking here about Belshazzar. His daddy was Nebuchadnezzar, the king at that time. We know Nebuchadnezzar, how he was, he had taken all the fame and all the glory of the kingdom that was built there, and how he had a dream. And he saw a tree that was hewn down, and Daniel interpreted the dream and said that that was Nebuchadnezzar and gave him a warning. And Nebuchadnezzar didn't take heed, and he was 7 years like a wild man. The Bible said his nails grew out real long, and he was just plainly a wild person acting in the out in the forest, you know, and acted like a... just plumb crazy, and you know, and how the Lord let him have his right mind back again, and he then saw that what Daniel had said was true. And now Belshazzar's on the scene. This is Nebuchadnezzar's son, the king. He's a king, and he made a feast to the thousand of his lords and drank wine before the thousand. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. And I want to stop right there, and I want to focus on how these vessels, these golden vessels, were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was in Jerusalem, or which was at Jerusalem. And they drank wine. And this is the kind of wine that made them drunk. And it was no doubt fermented. It was strong drink. And how they... took those vessels out, and it was the place of the Lord. It was the house of God that these vessels were in. And now I want to jump over to the book of Jude, and we're going to read here just a little bit in the book of Jude, but I want you to focus on the vessels in the house of God. And in Jude, of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, he's writing to them now. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And there are certain men corrupt in unawareness, who were before the old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, now that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. And I was thinking here, Brother Yearwood, how this here is going on today. There's our doctors, they're saying that there's many gods and there's many ways to heaven, and they are turning away from Jesus Christ, and they're lovers of their own flesh, and they give themselves over to fornication, and how he was saying how this was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible talks about how in the last day it would be worse than the days of Noah, and then worse than the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and how we are there. We've never seen a time like this here before, where they're passing laws and degrees and stuff like they did back in the old, back in Daniel's day. They made degrees to bow down to the image, and Daniel would not bow to the image.
Amen.
How Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, how Daniel said, let us eat of our meat and not of the king's table of that time, and how they were stronger after so many days. They were more strong than the ones that had ate and drank the wine of the king, and how today, you know, there's the blind leading the blind, and how the Bible talks here, skip down real fast to, in the book of Jude in verse 12, it says, there are spots in their feasts of charity, and when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withered without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the root. And how today stands in the pulpits all across America and all across the world. These are clouds. These are preachers that are without the water. What is the water? The water is the Word of God. And you know, we have clouds, and when they get full of water, they burst, and then they begin to, it rains, it snows, and moisture is in the air. And I thought how these were clouds without any water. These were people, they were dried up, they were twice dead, they were plucked up by the root, and they're trying to preach a gospel that's not of Jesus Christ. And he said that if any man come preaching another gospel, that they would be cursed. Praise God. And you know, we've got to watch and pray. The Bible said to watch and pray. If the good man of the house would have watched and prayed, that the thief wouldn't have came in and robbed. But praise God, we need to watch. And we know he's coming as a thief in the night, Jesus Christ is. But to you and I, we're watching and praying. If you're born again, you'll not be deceived. It said if it were possible that even the very elect would be deceived. But praise God, we're watching and we're praying. And when they say, lo, he's in the mountain, go not there. And if it's lo, he's in the desert, not to go. If they tell you Jesus Christ is here. You know, Clint has met people before. I've never met nobody that said they were Jesus. But he actually met a man that said that he was Jesus Christ. And he met him in a church house. And this man thought for sure that he was Jesus. And he even said that I could show you. I could take my shirt off and I could show you the stripes on my back. And Clint said, no, thank you, because he knew that that was not Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that as a lightning strike from the east to the west, so shall the Son of Man. When he comes, every eye shall see, praise the Lord, the coming of the Son of Man. And he will be just like where the carcass is and the eagles will be. That's just like Jesus. When he comes, the everybody will, I don't know, I know the world is round, and I've tried to fathom that in my mind. How can everybody see on the other side of the world if we can see Jesus? Only thing I know is God is God, and he must flatten out the earth so everybody can see. I don't know, but everybody's going to see, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And all these people that is claiming that they're preaching the Jesus Christ and they're leading people into a ditch, praise God. You know, woe be to them, but woe be to the one that's following them. Praise God. You know, I believe it was Jim Jones, the one that had the don't drink the Kool-Aid type thing. Everybody makes jokes of that. But at one time, Brother Yearwood, they tell me that he was on the right road and he had miracles in his life and he knew the Word of God and he started out right and something happened and he was began to lead people astray and he took them all over to that place where they all did drink the Kool-Aid, and that's happening today. People are drinking tainted Kool-Aid. They're drinking tainted the so-called Word of God that's not the Word of God. We need to watch and
Amen.
Pray, people. The handwriting is on the wall. Don't be weighed in the balance and found wanting. Praise the Lord God. I praise Him. I thank Him. You know, we need to watch. And it says, and Enoch also, the seventh of Abraham, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. And I thought today, Brother Yearwood, as we're reading this, somebody was trying to witness on the Facebook. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little choked up here. And the person's comment was, we go to church with him, and he said he had a thought, and he put it out on Facebook. He said, there'll be no atheist in hell. And I thought about that for a minute, and I thought, no, he's wrong. That's exactly where the atheist is going to be, is in hell. But you know, after I thought about it, once they get there, they're going to see that there is a hell and there is a heaven. And they're going to believe then, just like the rich man believed, and he wanted Abraham to let Lazarus just dip his finger in the water and touch his tongue. You know,
Amen.
If the rich man was an atheist, an unbeliever, he believed then once he got down there. And I was thinking about how there was a comment that came back on that man, that young man that posted that. And this person said, now I'm atheist. And said, not only am I atheist, but I'm also bisexual. And said, why should I try to please your God when I'm pleasing myself? And I thought, oh my goodness, I thought, this is terrible. And you know, this is what we need to reach out for. This is what
Amen.
We need to try to get them to turn from their wicked way. You know, right now they're in sin for a season. But one of these days, they're going to meet the Maker. They're going to meet Jesus Christ. And they're not going to have another chance. Right now is the day of salvation. And you better get right with God, because if you don't get right with Him, I tell you, there's going to be a weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I believe you'll be able to feel the fire once you go there. And you know,
Amen.
I praise God. Brother Green said that hell was not made for people, but it was made for the devil and the fallen angels. The third of the angels decided to go with Lucifer. And you know, and the people are knowingly wanting to go to that place. And you know, Brother Yearwood, I believe because they don't really believe it. That's why they're making light. And they're saying that they'll go there, that like they're going to have some big party with their friends. And oh, praise God, I believe every time that we preach the gospel and every time that they hear the word go forth, I believe when they're in that place called hell, I believe that this will come to their remembrance, how we preach to get ready, get ready. And they'll have no fire escape in hell. There's no exit in hell. There's no way out. Oh, get ready now. Don't follow them that are preaching falsely. Stay away from the horoscopes. The Bible said that there in the book of Daniel, chapter 5, how Belshazzar, he looked for the sorcerers and he looked for the soothsayers and all them and to figure out this handwriting on the wall. You can't look to that kind of junk. Only the man of God could tell them, praise God, what the handwriting on the wall said. Don't be weighed in the balance and found wanting. Praise God, Brother Yearwood, I took up a lot of time, and I praise God. I know you say time is the Lord's, and I don't mean to apologize, but I want to have respect and prefer my brother over anything else I have to say. I don't want to get too much on Daniel chapter 5 because I want to hear what you all have to say, brother, and I appreciate you all. Thank you for allowing us on here.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's all on to all of God's people and all of God's time, so we don't worry about how much time you take. Brother John?
Yeah, brother. Yeah, brother.
Go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, the Bible does speak of in Corinthians that you know, Brother and Sister Green have planted, and we come. You know, a lot of times I get the privilege of planting, and then there's times I get the privilege of watering. And tonight I get the privilege, amen, I believe, to water. The Spirit of the Lord began to, and even though I called in first, the Spirit of the Lord told me to let Brother and Sister Green go first. I know, as they have said, you know, the Bible says to prefer your brother, and you know, a lot of times we let you sort of back clean up, amen, on your own program here, which, like you said, we know it's the Lord's program. And, but tonight, God really was dealing with me, and tonight it's a privilege that to be a part of this broadcast, a part of this program, which is God's program, it is God's time, and I'm just glad that we're working together in the vineyard of the Lord, that the Lord God is giving the increase of his word, and as we each come and approach, and amen, that God has dealt with each and every one of us. And God did deal with me out of Daniel chapter 5, and I do appreciate and I just want to exhort on what Brother and Sister Green has brought, and I know you'll be bringing it out, amen, also, but here in Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar was the king, amen, and it spoke of that he had made a great feast to his lords, and amen, and as Sister Green brought out, that they drank wine before the thousands. So it was a great feast before 1,000 people, amen, and this is what the world's doing. It's feasting, amen. The multitudes are feasting, amen, at the table, amen, and excess, and just as Sister Green brought out there, in the book of Jude, it talks about lasciviousness. It talks about a wantonness. It talks about excess. Amen. And amen. And the Bible says, while he was tasting the wine there in verse 2, he commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels, which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, the king, amen, and to his princesses, wives, and concubines. So here was a man who had very much, amen. He had wives, he had concubines that were given to him, and here he was. He had commanded that the vessels that were once, amen, in the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, be brought to the feast. Amen. You know what? The world is trying, amen, amen, to, as they're feasting, amen, amen, they're trying to bring the vessels that were one time set apart, set aside, amen, to the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And what has happened is, amen, these vessels, amen, were in Jerusalem at one time. But what had happened is, amen, and as Brother Green brought out and Sister Green also brought out, you know, the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ asked the question that the blind leadeth the blind.
shall they not both fall into the ditch? And the leadership, amen, had, amen, at that time in Israel and in Jerusalem, amen, was Zedekiah, and it's the time of Nebuchadnezzar, the prophet Jeremiah was speaking. And actually, I really believe, and I know it says here in the scriptures, but I think we'll study history, and I know it calls him Nebuchadnezzar his father, but I actually believe it was his grandfather, actually, find out. But anyhow, they called the fathers and the mothers, amen, that's fact, actually in the scriptures when it talks about, in Deuteronomy, and it talks about, amen, giving the commandments, when it says, talks about, in the actual Hebrew, it's talking about when you're giving honor to father and mother, that's the lineage, it's the mothers, the grandmothers, the and the fathers and the grandfathers, amen. So, amen, but anyhow, this was Belshazzar was having, he had commanded the vessels, amen, hallelujah, that were once in the temple, amen, in Jerusalem, amen. But Nebuchadnezzar, who had encompassed and besieged Jerusalem, amen, hallelujah, he had come, and Zedekiah was king over there at that time, and Zedekiah had come to a place, and amen, and there was, amen, Zedekiah had looked the other way, amen. He began not to, amen, call upon the one God of heaven, amen. Amen. He began to allow, amen, his subjects, amen, to begin to worship, amen, on the roofs, amen, and even offering idols to the queen of heaven and different things and the hosts of heaven, amen. So they come, and amen, and burnt incense, amen. So Zedekiah had looked the other way, amen. He had become blind. You know, the Bible says that this gospel is hid, is hid to them that are lost, for they are blinded by the God of this world. And so as there was, we have, amen, and I'm going to read out of Jeremiah here in just a minute, amen, but amen, as it would come, amen, this Nebuchadnezzar, amen, was a used as an instrument of judgment, amen, for the Lord Jesus Christ, or God the Father at that time, amen. And so they come, and as they were speaking here, it says in verse 3, then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and they drank out of them. You know, they had put wine, the wine of the world, amen, just like Sister Green had brought out. You know, there's a wine that causes a stupor. There's a wine, there's a strong drink, amen, that the world, amen, wants to drink and be a part of. There's the wine of fornication the Bible speaks of in the book of Revelation, amen, that the great whore, amen, all the earth, amen, amen, gave to those of that who were with her, amen, and that was Babylon, amen, that was a spiritual Babylon, a place of confusion, the gate of the gods, and we find, amen, that as they come here, you know, the Bible speaks of, and let me turn over there to that, I think it's in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20 and 21, speaks about that, it says, in a great house, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. So here in Belshazzar, in his kingly mansion, these were vessels that were vessels of honor. How do I know they were vessels of honor? It wasn't what they were made of, because the Bible says in a great house, there are vessels of gold and of silver and also of wood and earth. But these vessels that were brought out of the house of God, they were all vessels of honor, amen, because they had been set apart, sanctified, fit for the master's use. Hallelujah. And the Bible says there, verse 21, amen, if a man therefore purge himself from these, in other words, purge himself from the vessels of gold and silver, amen, amen, purge themselves of the vessel, in other words, set themselves apart. He said, come ye out and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. You have to understand that every vessel in the house of God, no matter whether it was wood or whether it was gold or whether it was silver, amen, was set apart for the Lord Jesus Christ, set apart in the temple, set apart in a place of holiness, amen. And you need to know tonight, these vessels represented people, amen, because you are vessels tonight. And it doesn't make any difference tonight where you're made of, out of, but it's what's on the inside of the vessel that makes us precious. Amen. If you have the Spirit of God tonight on your inside, whether you're wood, whether you're stubble, whether you're hay, amen, That's what makes the vessel a vessel of honor. Amen. When you have, amen, the Bible says humility before honor in Proverbs. Amen. We know that if we humble ourselves, the Bible says in James chapter 4, I believe it's verse 7, talks about humble thyself in the sight of God. Amen. And he shall highly exalt you. It talks about humbling yourself, amen, and resist the devil, he will flee from you. So there's a resistance, amen, to that thing of pride, amen, and hallelujah. And the Bible says, shall purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared to every good work. You know, tonight, amen, the vessels that were in the temple of God were prepared for a good work. The Bible says in Philippians, he who began a good work in you shall perform it to the day of his coming. These vessels were set apart into a place of holiness. But amen, as Zedekiah and the leaders there in Israel at that time, and amen, had come and amen, had allowed, amen, Israel to fall away from the one true God, amen. They had fallen away, and the vessels that were once in the temple, once had been holy, once had been sanctified, amen, had been set apart. Amen, those vessels, amen, that were once in the temple of Jerusalem were taken into captivity because of Nebuchadnezzar coming, amen, and the people had spoken unto him, amen, amen. Jeremiah, in fact, had prophesied, amen, that they could no longer, amen, be victorious, amen. And so the vessels that were in the temple were taken in captivity, amen, and used for the feast of the world. Tonight, church, the vessels that are in the temple of God are you. You are his people. You are his children. And on the inside, amen, of you, you become a vessel of honor by his Holy Ghost tonight. You become a vessel of honor no matter what the outside is made of, because, amen, he who has made the house has a greater glory. You know, when Moses was in the house, amen, but there was one greater than Moses, amen. When Solomon was in the house, there was one greater than Solomon. Tonight, there's no greater glory than the Lord Jesus Christ, who fills the vessel with his glory, who fills the vessel with his spirit. That makes you a vessel, amen. But what has happened is the enemy is coming and taking you captivity because, amen, you've been brought out. And some of you were hot in church. Some of you were hot in the temple of God. But, amen, you've been out and you've been fallen away by ministers and false apostles and false teachers. You know, Brother Green, amen, if he did not know the word of God, he could have been taken aside, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I knew Jerry Jones personally, amen. I used to live and work in Indianapolis, Indiana. I knew the time when Jerry Jones, amen, before the time and before they went over there and before they began people began to follow him. You know, the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. I knew some of those people that were over there and did end up, amen, in death. Amen. Because they had come. But you need to know tonight, amen, that if you're not careful, you'll be vessels that were once, amen, vessels of honor, amen, in the house of God, but you'll be taken away captivity if you don't serve the one and only true God tonight. And they were taken away in captivity, and they became, amen, vessels under dishonor, because what had happened is as they walked away from God, walked away from the house of God. And I'm speaking prophetically right now, there are many underneath the sound of my voice right now that you were once a vessel of honor in the house of God, but you have allowed the world to come in and take you captivity and take you out of the house of God and take you to the place of Babylon and take you to the place of confusion and take you to the place, amen, where now you're filled up with the wine of the world, filled up with the substance of the world, and the world is using you to drink out of you and you to use you up and fill you away at the end of their feast. You need to know tonight that there's a feasting in the Father's house that you can come back. There's a restoration. Amen tonight. Amen. Because the handwriting's on the wall. And the Bible says that the great wine in that same hour, the Bible teaches us that there were four fingers of a man's hand, and he wrote against the candlestick. He wrote against the light. You know, he'd come in there, amen, amen, and he saw, Belshazzar saw the hand that wrote on the wall. He saw the handwriting on the wall, but you know what? That message was to him, and he couldn't interpret it. There was a message to him. and he didn't know what it was. Church, there's a message to you tonight, and it's coming from the finger of God and the handwriting of all. The Bible says, amen, in the book, hallelujah, when they come in the Exodus, amen, hallelujah, there was the finger of God writing on tablets of stone, amen, and the writing could not be changed. But you need to know tonight, amen, what had happened. The people, amen, didn't know what had happened to this man Moses. Didn't know, amen, they didn't want to go talk to God themselves. They didn't want to face, amen, the thunderings and lightning. It just says, Sister Green brought out, he said, amen, as lightning fall to the east and the west. Jesus said, I beheld lightning, Satan fall as lightning, amen. When the disciples come back and were rejoicing, amen, because the demons were subject to him through the name of Jesus. Amen, he said, rejoice not that they're subject, but rejoice that your name, amen, is written in the Lamb's book of life, the book of life tonight. Church, tonight we need to rejoice, and we need to make sure of the appointment that, amen, you can have your name on this. You can have your name on the contract. You can have your name on the field. You can have your name down on the roads of church. But tonight, church, you better make sure that that handwriting, amen, that same hand and same finger is writing your name in the Lamb's book of life, because it's written in blood, and it can't be erased. Hallelujah. And you need to know tonight, amen, just like it's so the Bible saw the king saw the part of the hand that wrote it. He saw the hand of God. Church tonight, there are many people tonight seeing the hand of God and don't know what he's writing. They cannot interpret.
Amen.
Because the message is to them tonight. Church tonight, you need to know what the hand of God is writing. The Bible says in Luke, amen, with the finger of God, even the children, amen, they come, amen, they come, and amen, he was casting out the devils, and they, amen, and even his own people said, he cast out devils by the prince of devils, Beelzebub. He said, a house divided cannot stand tonight, church. Amen. He said, if I by Beelzebub cast out, who do your children cast out? He said, but if I by the finger of God. Amen. Hallelujah. The finger of God, the handwriting wall. He said, afterward in those days, he said, I would no longer write in tablets of stone. You have to understand something tonight, church. For 40 days, face to face, Moses, amen, had stone tablets written, amen, amen, and the finger of God. God wrote it. Amen. But what did the children of Israel do? They got tired of waiting. They got weary in waiting. The Bible says in Galatians, be not weary in well-doing, for thou shalt reap, but thou faint not in due season. Church, you need to know tonight, amen, the 38th day wasn't due season. The 39th day was not due season. But the 40th day, amen, but you know what? They couldn't wait till 40 days. They had to rise up in the 39th day and made a God unto themselves. Church, wait until the harvest. Wait until the time of the appointed word. Wait till the fullness of time comes when God is appointed. Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, amen, that there are times and seasons appointed unto the Father. They wanted to know if the time of his return would come. He said, it's not for you to know tonight, amen. There are things, amen, that's reserved unto the Father tonight, and one of them is his son's return, amen. No man knows the hour nor the time. He said, no, when they come to you and say, Christ is here, or Christ is there. He said, go not after them. He said, there's some men that come and say, I am Christ, just as Brother Green said. If Brother Green had not known the Word of God, had not known the true Christ himself, amen, if he had not walked in that path, amen, if he had not saw the handwriting on the wall, he would have followed that man, amen, and believed that man, because multitudes of multitudes, the Bible says, talking about hell, hell has enlarged itself to receive the pomp and the multitude. The Bible says, follow not a multitude, rest and do evil. Amen. You know what? Hell is going to be filled up with many that are just following, amen, the crowd. Church tonight, we don't need to follow the crowd. We need to follow the one. He said, I will give unto you one shepherd and one fold. Hallelujah. And tonight, amen, the handwriting's on the wall. The Bible says there in verse 6 that the king's thoughts, his countenance changed, and his knees began to smoke. You ever seen, amen, in cartoons somewhere when they saw something? Here was a man. Here was a king of glory, supposedly. He was a king of heaven and a ruler, amen. At one moment he was feasting, and now he was shaking. Church, we need to be shaking tonight. We need to be shaking when we see the thoughts of God. the very handwriting of the earth. But you need to know something tonight. Amen. When Moses was coming down that mountain, he had received those stone tablets. Amen. The children of Israel had made golden calves, amen, to themselves. And in his anger, amen, he threw the tablets down and they were smashed. But you need to know something, church, tonight. What he has written is written. It didn't matter that the tablets were smashed. It was already God's commandments. They were set not only in stone, but amen, but now they're set in the heart of man. You need to know that the handwriting, when God writes it, when that, what's that writing? It cannot be changed. Amen. Hallelujah. No man can change the writings of God, the written word of God and the spoken word of God. And the Bible said the king, just like Sister Green brought, he said he cried for the astrologers. He cried for the soothsayer. He cried for the wise men. And he went and he said, look, whoever will read this, he said, I'm going to give them a chain of gold. Amen. And they'll be the third ruler. I'm going to give them clothes of scarlet. Amen. But the Bible says then all the king's men, all the wise men, amen, cannot read the writing. That's why. Because they were the wisdom was of this world. The Bible says it's essential and devilish. Amen. But you know what? The Bible says, amen, that they that worship him must worship him in the spirit and truth. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Amen. Here was a woman, amen. Here was a woman that was a heart. Here was a woman that's a rail. But she began to know this one called Jesus. Amen. She began to see, she said, come see a man who told me everything that I've done. She began to see the handwriting. There wasn't nothing to write on. But amen, as Jesus spoke to her, her heart began to be written on. He said, and afterwards I'll write upon the tables of her heart. Her heart, amen, was changed. Amen, because Jesus had spoken to her. Her heart, amen, had become a tablet. Her heart had become a writing instrument. Her heart had become an iPad where the finger of God began to write with the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Word made flesh and was God himself sitting there on the well. God himself began to speak to her on that day. Amen. Hallelujah. And began to bring revival there in Sychar. Amen. At the well of Jacob. And then the Bible says that King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. And here comes his queen. Amen. And she said, oh, king, live forever. Oh, king, live forever. She couldn't change the right. She didn't even know what it said there. Amen. But there's one in your kingdom. Amen. Who has the spirit of a God. Of the Holy God. He has that was in there in the day of your father. In other words, the day of Nebuchadnezzar, who had light and understanding. Amen. Amen. And he knew. And he made him the master. Amen. Of the magicians. Amen. The astrologers and soothsayers. And he said, as for as much as he has excellent spirit there, verse 12, he got knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in this same Daniel. He said, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Let Daniel, the man of God, let he that has an excellent spirit. You know, that's what they said about Jesus. That's what they said about Daniel, amen. They could find no fault in him. They could find no fault in Jesus. They found nothing worthy of death in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Bible says that Daniel was brought before the king. And he asked him of all the children of the captivity of Judah, whom my king, my father, brought out of Judah. He said, I've heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and thy light and understanding and excellent wisdom in thee. He said, and now the wise men and the shouts have been brought. All the men of the world. All the men of the world. You need to know something tonight, church. The carnal mind is enmity against the things of God. Indeed, cannot mind the things of God. These were things of the spirit. These were things that were sealed, only that could only be opened and understood by those that had the mind of the spirit. The Bible says, the mind of the spirit is life and peace, but the carnal mind is death. And the Bible says, I've heard of thee, that thou can make interpretations. Going there, verse 16, he said, if you interpret for me, paraphrasing it, he said, I'm going to clothe you with scarlet, with a chain, and you can be the third ruler of the kingdom. Daniel answered in verse 17, let thy gift be thyself. Give your gift back to yourself. I don't want your gift. I don't want your rewards. But I will make known to you the interpretation. He had a job to do. He had an interpretation because his God had written this. And the Bible says, he told him about his father. He said, O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father gave him a kingdom, gave him majesty, gave him glory, gave him honor.
Amen. And for the majesty, verse 19, and for the majesty that he gave them all people, he gave them all people, nations and language, trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne. In other words, just like Sister Green said, for 7 years, he come out, his fingernails, his things, he was like a beast. His thoughts were like a beast. He growled there and that, almost like a feather. He had the whole mind of a beast. You know, the Bible says, I believe it's in John 12:26, says this, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. He gave him honor. But what had happened? Nebuchadnezzar, as an instrument of judgment, he wasn't a Jew, but as an instrument of judgment, God had given him favor. He'd given him majesty, whatever he wanted to do, basically. That's what. But what had happened is, pride had lifted up. It tells us in Daniel chapter 4 that he come out after 12 months, came out and saw Babylon, and he said, This great Babylon that I have made, that I have created. You know, the Bible speaks of in Jeremiah 27, starting in verse 6. Here's a prophecy of Jeremiah in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I believe the writings of Jeremiah was in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. It was before the writings of Daniel, somewhere around 629 B.C., I believe it was. Amen. And I'm not sure when the writings of Daniel was. I probably I studied it one time. But anyhow, it says in Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 6, and now am I giving out, this is a prophecy to the king, Zedekiah, as I was talking about. Now am I giving all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. See, he was his servant. He had served him. He served him, amen, as an instrument of righteousness. And the beast of the field have I given him also to serve him. Even the beast of the field, he gave him dominion. And all nations shall serve him and his son. And his son's son, until, now Belshazzar was actually the son's son, until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. This is a prophecy of Belshazzar there in verse 7. And it shall come to pass. So he didn't read the writings of it all. He didn't read the handwriting. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword, and with the famine, and with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. In other words, if you don't subject yourself and give your neck unto Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to get there, and I'm going to put my sword, and I'm going to put my pestilence, and I'm going to put my famine in this land, until you're completely consumed. Therefore, hearken ye not to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. That's what everyone told him, except for Jeremiah. That's why he said, Lord, you deceive me. He said, I feel better to say, but he said it was like a fire set up in my bones. He had been put in prison because he had prophesied that he was the only one that stood up and said, Israel's going to go into captivity. We're going to go into captivity. But you must yield unto the king of Babylon. You must yield to Nebuchadnezzar. But everyone else to, Zedekiah, you don't have to do that. You're the king of Israel. You're the king of Judah. You're the ruler. You don't have to do that. Every one of his sources, every one of his. And you know what? Just like I said here, all those interpreters, all the sorcerers, all the soothsayers, all the Chaldeans, all the astrologers come and look at Amen through the horoscopes and through the looking at the sky, the magicians and all this kind of stuff. And you know, how can they? They would have told him anything. Just like they told Nebuchadnezzar. You know, he wanted to know the interpretation thereof. Amen. And this same Daniel. But the Bible says, how can I say, for the prophesy I lied to you, verse 10, to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and you should perish. But the nation that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him both will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall kill it and dwell therein. You know what? If Zedekiah would have listened to Jeremiah, he would have stayed in his own land. Church, I'm speaking to you tonight prophetically. If you would have subjected yourself to whatever the Lord puts into you, even if he give you yourself into the hands of the enemy, you would have been able to stay in your own land. You would have been able to stay in your own temple. You would have been able to stay in the temple of God. But you know what? You said, no, I'm somebody. And you lifted yourself up in pride. And pride cometh before destruction, and the Holy Spirit before a fall. And you were taken into captivity. You were taken into a strange land. I'm speaking to you tonight. There were vessels of honor underneath the sound of my voice that you once served the Lord God. You were once hot vessels of honor in the temple. But you know what? In your pride, amen, you begin to say, I'm somebody. I'm somebody. I'm a king. I'm a ruler. I'm feasting, amen. I'm feasting among the thousands. I'm among the crowd, the multitude. I've got to be doing right there. But you just like you said, just like that, just like Sister Green brought out, the Kool-Aid was poisonous. My Bible says, these signs and wonders shall follow those that believe. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. These weren't believers. They followed man. They followed man. Tonight you need to follow Christ. Follow a man or a woman that's a leader in there. As long as they follow Christ, there's only one path. There's only one highway. The handwriting's on the wall. As these men and women that are true men and women of God, they follow the handwriting. Amen. What is written is written. Just like Pilate said, he said, what I have written, I have written. Amen. In John, I think it's John 19:22. Amen. He wrote over the Lord that this was the King of the Jews. Even the Pharisees, even the high priest, they come and said, look, you need to go say that, right, that he said he was the King of the Jews. Oh, you need to know something tonight. We serve a Lord that the anointing speaks for itself. He opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. The anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ speaks for itself tonight. Oh, he made himself with no reputation. Amen. Though he was made a little lower than angels. Amen. He said it's not robbery to be in the form of God. You need to know tonight, here's what it said. But Zedekiah would not hearken. And so not only did he lose every one of his children, but his eyes were put out, and he went into captivity, just like Greg Lane said, for 70 years. Church, tonight you don't need to be in captivity. You need to be in the land of the promise. You need to be abiding in it. But the handwriting is on the wall tonight, church. Amen. And the Bible says, going back there, amen, I've got a couple more scriptures and I'm going to give it back to you. I don't mean to, I'm not going to apologize for it, but like you said, it's God's time. Hallelujah. But the Bible says, and he was driven from the sons of men, there in verse 21 of chapter 5. And if that was made like a beast, this is talking about Nebuchadnezzar now. He's Daniel speaking to Belshazzar, telling him that his father's grandfather, amen, was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast. His dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him in grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven. Till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thy heart, though thou knewest all this. In other words, Belshazzar, you knew what your grandfather did. He was, for 7 years, he's out there in the beast. He was driven from men. Amen. God had set him up in Jeremiah, in the times of Jeremiah, to have him dominion over the beast. Now, he's walking with the beast. He's a party with the beast. Church, it's time for you to quit walking with the beast. It's time for you to know that there's only one that rules. It's the hand that has the handwriting on the wall. And the Bible says, but thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and thou that have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of gold, silver and of gold, and of brass and iron, wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose all the way hast thou not glorified. You were in his hand, Belshazzar, but now the handwriting is on the wall. With the finger of God, he wrote in the wall. You praise other gods that are not gods. You praise what you drink out of. Amen. You know, when we drink, amen, here in America, if we drink strong drink, we drink wine, or we drink beer, or we drink these other things, it's strong drink, and it's called drinking, driving under the influence. But tonight there's a new wine, amen, that you can, amen, we need to live under that influence. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit tonight. Just as Peter said, being a third out is not drunken, as you suppose, being as a third out. But tonight we need to live under the influence of the Holy Spirit tonight, church. The influence, we need to live, amen, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says there in verse 24, then was the part that had sent from him, and this writing was written. It was sent from him, and this is the writing that was written. Meaning, Kiko, Epharson. This is the interpretation of the thing. Meaning, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. I already read you that scripture over there in Jeremiah chapter 27. He said, in the time of thy son, it will come to the fullness. It will be taken away. But he didn't see it. He said, Kiko, thou art weighed in the balances, and I have found wanting. Church, tonight there's divine balances. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 6, verse 5, talks about the seal. Amen. And talks about, I believe it's the third seal there, and it's talking about the famine. Amen. The balances. Church, tonight you're in the balances. You're on the balances or scales. Amen. And you get on that scale tonight, will you be found wanting? Will you not have enough? Will there not be enough, amen, to enter into heaven? You need to know tonight, there's none righteous, no, not one. For we have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But tonight, when we get on those balances of life, every one of us will get on those balances. But you know what? Who will be there with us? The Lord Jesus Christ. He said, when you go through the water, I'll be with you. When you are through the river, it shall not overcome. When you go through the fire, it shall not kill against you. Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2. Hallelujah. Or through the flood, it shall not overflow you. Tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, I can stand on the scales of life and know that my Lord Jesus Christ is there with me. And amen, it's not what I've done. It's not what I've done that equals out the balances, but it's what the Lord Jesus Christ is within me. Because there's a vessel of honor, not because I'm not anything, I'm not nothing. He said, without him I can do nothing. But tonight, what is man that thou art mindful of, and the Son of Man that would come? There was a Lord that came from glory. He came from heaven. If I would have been the only one, he would have came. If you tonight would have been the only one, he would have came. He came for one. There's more rejoicing tonight over one sinner that repents. Over the 99 righteous. That sheep, that one sheep that is lost, he said, I come in to seek me to save that which was lost. His very purpose was to destroy the works of the devil and find those, amen, those vessels that have been taken out of the house of God and where the world's drinking and using them up and using you up. Church, tonight, you need to return to the house of God. You need to return, amen, and let the honor of God fill the vessel to overflowing. David said, my cup runneth over. There's handwritings on the wall tonight. Thou art found in the balances, found wanting. The Bible says, I believe it's in Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. He said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of the hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander, just as, what did Sister Green bring out tonight? Wandering stars, wells without water, clouds, amen. They've got to be full tonight, not of the world, not of this wine, not of the things of the world, but of the honor of God. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Church is a famine. You can't find the word of God. They couldn't find the word of God. These people were going back and forth. They didn't have the interpretation. They didn't know because why? This was the word of God. It's only spiritually descended. Third, they didn't have the spirit. Thirdly, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning that he should be a sole ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius and the Median, which was the Medes, took the kingdom, being 62 years old. That was 62 years old. But here's, that very night, his kingdom was divided. Church tonight, the kingdom divided cannot stand. But right now, God wants to unite his kingdom. If you've been outside the holy city, if you've been outside the realm, God says it's time for you to come home. It's time for you to come back into the kingdom. The gates are open. He's looking for you. And right now, the handwriting's on the wall. You can come back home. Amen? Because what he has written cannot be changed or altered. And tonight, the handwriting, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly heart, spirit. Oh, his yoke and burden is easy and light tonight, church. The handwriting's on the wall. Do you know what it's saying? It's saying to you, come home, my child. Come home. I've forgiven all. Come home. I've left heaven for you. Come home. Amen. There's a writing there, and he's writing on your heart. Will you receive it? Will you let the iPods of your heart receive the handwriting on the wall? Amen. There's a book. Amen. They're selling all kinds of books. Amen. And all kind. I'm not going to give any advertisement to do for whatever. I don't even know what. The only book I know is the Word of God, the King James Version. That's the only book I know. And you know what? There's writings in here. It cannot be changed. Will you receive the writing tonight? Oh, this whole book was written with the finger of God and the hand of God tonight. And it's given to you. You have the whole message tonight, but it's up to you. The handwriting's on the wall of your life. Go ahead, Bert. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful word there, Brother John. That's great. And Brother and Sister Green brought out some wonderful word there, too. So, you know, I tell you what, I'm just thinking, you know, the handwriting's on the wall. Friend out there, tonight, if you're hearing this, this message is to you. It's not to no one else. So you need to take heed to it tonight. The handwriting's on the wall. And you're the only one that can know what it is by the Spirit of God revealing it to you. So, you know, the king, he had to get the man of God to reveal it to him. So I believe the word teaches us that there's no private interpretation. And the Spirit of God will speak to us, and the Spirit of God will call us. No man come to the Father except the Spirit drawing. There's no way tonight that you can get saved except the Spirit draws you. And I feel like the Spirit of God is a drawing you tonight through this. You're hearing the word, and there's a handwriting is on the wall. So I'm going to ask him to sing another song, praise the Lord. Just worship the Lord with him as he sings. Praise God.
I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He shall dwell within them, they shall be his people, and Almighty God will be with them. Shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, and no more pain. The former things are all passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, write these words, for they are faithful and true. And it is God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, He's everything, Messiah, Jehovah, Prince of Peace, is He, Son of Man, Seed of Abraham, second person in the Trinity. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Son of God, the King of Kings,
Lord of Lords, He's everything. Messiah, Jehovah, Prince of Peace is He. Son of Man, Seed of Abraham, second person in the Trinity. He is the Alpha, Omega, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Messiah, Jehovah. Second person in the Trinity, He is the Alpha, Omega. He is Messiah, Jehovah. Second person in the Trinity, He is the Alpha and Omega, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Messiah, Jehovah, the Great I Am, Seed of Abraham. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of everything. He is Lord.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful song there. You're going to have to keep me in your prayers. I've still got a, I don't know, the devil's still trying to choke me up, but the devil's a liar. I know the healer, and I know, praise God, if he healed one man that's down on the bed with cancer and about dead, he can heal this little cold or whatever it is that's trying to bother me. I want to ask Betty to read some here for me. I want her to start out in Daniel 5 and verse 5. And so I know Daniel 5 has been covered real good, but I just feel like touching here a little bit here on Daniel 5 and 5. Praise God.
In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote.
Praise the Lord. You know, I kind of feel like whenever the old king looked over there, you know, if you noticed, he said he wrote on the plaster of the wall. You know, if you get a sign and you get it carved into the plaster, it's going to stay there. And praise God, God wrote there on the plaster of that wall. And the old king, he seen it, and he seen the part of the hand. And I believe that he knew that it was God writing that message to him. And, you know, he had to go and get a man of God, Daniel, to interpret for him. And, you know, praise God, today I'm going to tell you, we are men and women of God, and we're trying our best to interpret this message to you, if you'll take heed to it, and if you would hear what the Word says. I want us to look into Matthew 24 and verse 34 and 35. It says, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." You know, praise God, the Word was written up on the wall. And tonight, that's what I feel like tonight we're doing. We're writing the Word again up on the wall. And let's look into verse 35. It said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away." You know, praise God, His Word is not going to pass away. Praise God, I'm going to let Betty read this here, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. It's in Psalms 119 and verse 89.
forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven.
Oh, praise God. O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know, tonight, my friend, every single word of that, as Brother John mentioned there a while ago about in the King James Version Bible, it's settled in heaven. There's not going to be one jot, not one tittle going to fall until it's all fulfilled. I tell you what, I thank God tonight. Let's look into 2 Timothy 4, 2 and through 4. It said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, rebuke, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heave to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know, praise God, that's what I was thinking there a while ago whenever Brother John and Brother Green and them was bringing out the false prophets and about that one that they were drinking that poison Kool-Aid. You know, praise God, people fell after a man. They followed a man that was going to lead them wrong. I tell you what, praise God, Paul said this, follow me even as I follow Christ. I tell you what, I tell everybody, as long as you see me and I'm a following Christ, it's all right to follow me. But if I'm out here on the left-hand side, out here on the limb, somewhere else, not taking the word of God and not following Christ myself, you better flee from me because I will lead you wrong. But as long as I follow Christ, my friend, you should be able to follow me. I tell you, teachers have an itch in years. That's what people are doing today. People are desiring easier way. But my friend, there's no easier way but one way. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the truth and the light. No man come to the Father except by me. He said he was the door. No way that you're going to get in, my friend, except you go through the door. It's time that we stop and back up. It's time that we take the word of God. I tell you, as I looked so many times on this Facebook, people are using scriptures that they said is the word of God, but it's not the King James Version. I'm not just coming against them, but I'm telling them that this word is forever settled in heaven. And it said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall not pass. My friend, his word's not going to pass. I'm not going to be one jot, not one tittle fall to the ground until it's all fulfilled. I tell you, praise God. Hallelujah. In verse 4 it said, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, praise God. When they turn unto fables, that is something that is no good. That is something that would destroy you. That's something that's leading you down the wrong path. But praise God, it's time that we take heed to the word. I believe the handwriting's on the wall tonight. Hallelujah. I believe that God is speaking to us tonight. I believe he's telling you tonight, my friend, that you need to come out from amongst what you're in. The word tells us over there in 2 Chronicles and 7:14. It says, praise God, my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land, forgive their sins and will heal their land. I tell you, My friend, I believe God tonight is bringing these scriptures, handwriting on the wall, telling you that you need to come out. And I believe I heard Brother John say a while ago, the scripture said, touch not, taste not, handle not of the unclean things of this world. I tell you what, it's time that people come out from amongst their sins. It's time that people turn and come unto the Word of God. It's time that people forget about the fables and start seeking after God. It's time, hallelujah, that they wonder after the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quicker and sharper, quickened and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, praise God, the word is sharper tonight than any two-edged sword. Praise God, I'm glad tonight, hallelujah, that he is, praise God, reaching out. He's trying to tell us, my friend, that we need to take heed to the Word of God. We need to realize what thus saith God and what he wants us to do. Praise God, the Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It will cut going in, and it will cut coming out. It will go to the mire of the bone. Hallelujah. He will let us know where we're wrong and where we're right. We need to know, praise God, what the Word is saying to us. Let's look into James. Praise God. James 1. I'm going to let Betty read this. Hallelujah.
But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Praise the Lord. Now, we've heard the word, hallelujah. You know, there in verse 22, it said, But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, praise God, there's people out here tonight. It's a crying shame. It's a shame to think that people are hearing this word of God, but they're not being a doers of what the word says. They're just going through and fro. They're running here and running there, doing everything that they can do. But my friend, they need to turn. You need to turn around and do what thus saith the word. You need to turn and you need to hear the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to you. He said, them that have a ear, let them hear what the Spirit said to them this day. My friend, I'm going to tell you something tonight. You need to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches this day, because you may never hear it again. You better take heed to what the Word is telling you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's look into 1 Peter 1:24-25. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men is, as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. You know, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. In verse 25 it says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You know, praise God. I want us to think here just for a few minutes. Let's look on that verse 25 again. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You know, tonight, my friend, you've heard the word. You've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've heard how to repent of your sins. You've heard how to come to the Lord and realize that the Lord have mercy upon you. The handwriting's on the wall. He's calling your name. I believe your name is even written in the scriptures on the wall, my friend. You need to cry out to him and say, Lord, have mercy on me, for I'm just a sinner. I need grace. I need help. I need to repent. I tell you, these people tonight have gone too far out, and they still think that they are a servant of the living God. But they don't never hear the voice of God speak to them anymore. But I'm going to tell you something. My sheep know my voice, and strangers they'll not follow. My friend, if you don't hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you, you need to stop in your tracks right where you're at. You need to call out on him and call upon him. He will hear and he will answer. Praise God. I tell you, hallelujah. Let's look into Isaiah 40 and verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. As Betty read there a while ago in Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter. Get that back up, honey. Praise God. Deuteronomy, 5th chapter and verse 5.
Daniel.
Daniel, I'm sorry. Daniel 5, instead of Deuteronomy. Praise God. You know, I tell you what, praise God, this word is forever settled in heaven. It'll never be changed. We can't change this word. Praise God, we might like to, but it cannot be changed. For it's forever, praise God. Let me read this one more time. The grass withereth, but the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Hallelujah. Now the word of God is going to stand forever. I want her to read that one more time there in Daniel 5 and verse 5.
In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote.
Praise the Lord. The old king, he couldn't deny. He seen the part of the hand, and he seen God's hand, I believe, writing on the wall. Praise God, and he had to sin. None of his men could even determine. None of his men could even interpret the word of the God that was written on the wall. But Daniel did, and Daniel got that necklace, and praise God. But Daniel said, I don't want it. You give it to someone else. But he got it. Praise God. He became the third king, just like God planned for him to. God picks him up, and he sets him down, and he makes him up, and he lets him go. I tell you what, tonight, my friend, God is calling someone, hallelujah, into repentance. Praise God. In Matthew 5:18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled. Hallelujah. You know, praise God, it ain't nothing, huh? There ain't going to be nothing happen until all of this word be fulfilled. I praise God tonight that the handwriting is on the wall. I praise God, I can't get off from that. The handwriting's on the wall. I want you to look tonight in the 22nd chapter of Revelation and verse 18 and 19. This is still the handwriting on the wall. For I testify unto every man that heareth the word of this, of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, that's what I was saying there a while ago. I look on Facebook and I see a lot of word that they say that's not. They say it's God's word. But my friend, whenever they got different words from what thus saith the King James Version, I think there's something wrong somewhere, because God said that he was going to add to and he's going to take away. Now listen, into verse 19, and if any man shall take away from the word of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Hallelujah. I tell you what, praise God. God says he's going to take your name out. He's going to take your part out. I'll praise God, and you take away and you add to. The plague's going to be added unto you, this book, and if you take out, your name's going to be tucked out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, let's look into Revelation 20 in verse 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Wasn't no place found for them. Hallelujah. Because they took away and they added to. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Oh, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Almighty. Hallelujah, the handwriting's on the wall. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whose whatsoever was not found written in the book of life was casted into the lake of fire. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, my friend, I would be afraid to add to. I'd be afraid to take away because I don't want my part took out of the Lamb's Book of Life and out of the Holy City. I want to make heaven my home, and that's the reason why that I stand every day and I cry out every day against the sins of this world. That's the reason I tell them today that you must be saved. You must be born again. You must have your life changed. You must have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. He's going to open up that book one day and he's going to take a look through it. And whose ever name is not found written in that book, it's going to be turned into the second death, which is the lake of fire. My friend, I'm here to call you tonight into repentance. I'm here tonight to tell you that you must repent, that you've got to make heaven your home. If you don't, you've not missed it all. A lot of people says, well, you've missed it all if you miss heaven. No, my friend, we just read it there in the Word. You found a lake of fire, a word that you're going to burn throughout eternity. The Bible says, a worm dies not, and a worm, the fire is not quenched, and a worm dies not. I tell you, it's going to be a crying shame that if you miss heaven, it's going to be a crying shame. My friend, there'll be a prayer meeting going on, but it'll be too late. You'll be a crying out for the mercy of God, but he'll be like, you'll be like the rich man. He seen Lazarus far off in Abraham's bosom, and he said, Lazarus, Father, Abraham sent Lazarus back to here that he might just bring me a glass of water, that he might stick his finger in it and put it on my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. I tell you what, there's a great gulf fixed between them, and them that was up there couldn't come to him, neither from them from hell I could go to him, go to heaven, to go to get that glass of water. Then he said, I've cried out, I sent Lazarus, that he warned my five brothers not to come to this place, for I'm tormented in flame. My friend, he refused to just give Abraham just the crumbs that fell, or Lazarus. Sorry about that. He refused to give Lazarus just the crumbs that fell from his table. My friend, tonight, we are breaking the Word of God. We are breaking the Word. We're handing it out to you. My friend, just as Jesus hand the Word out to them and had the five little fish and two little loaves that he fed the multitude. Praise God, tonight we're feeding the multitude to people around the world. This word, praise God, I'm glad tonight that you can take heed. You can hear what the Spirit say tonight unto you, and you can take the word and multiply it to your life, and you can make heaven your home. If you ain't got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you can have it there. All you've got to do is cry out to the Lord, have mercy on me. Praise God. I'm so thankful, praise God, that we've only used this year tonight, praise God, of the handwritings on the wall. Hallelujah. I praise God for that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I praise God for this service today. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Brothers Green, we've only got 2 minutes left. You just want to come in there, 1 minute now. Come in there and obey the Lord. Tell me where the church is at.
Okay, Brother Yearwood, that was a good message, I tell you. We got to have that Word of God down in our heart, and the Lord said he'd put it there on the tables of our heart. And I'm just glad to be saved on the winning side. And when it's all said and done, we're going to a better place, and I'm Excited about that. I don't ever want to turn back and lose out with God. I don't ever want to try to change the Word of God. But what it says is what it says. And I believe
Amen.
It was Pilate. He said, they said change it, but change that writing, you know, that he said
yeah.
that he was the Son of God. But Pilate said, no, what I've written, I've written. And he said, this is the Son of God, you know, on that cross it was written. I believe it was three languages. I tell you, the Son of God, he's the way of salvation. If you're out there tonight listening, you need to find you an altar and call upon the Lord, and he'll have mercy on you. He had mercy on the one man went up to the temple. I believe he was a publican. The Bible said there was one was a Pharisee and the other was a publican, and the publican wouldn't even look up to heaven, but he said, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. And you know, Jesus said, the one man stood up and said, I pay my tithes and I do everything, basically, I'm putting in my words, I do everything right, and I'm not like this publican. And you know, he thought he was all right. He thought he was better than this other man. But I tell you, God had mercy on this other man instead of the Pharisee, because the Pharisee, he thought he was above sin. But you know what? He needed Jesus. That's the thing. Whatever kind of religion you got, you're going to have to go through Jesus to get eternal life and to have life eternal. I'll turn it back to you,
Man.
Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. We just now went off our brother, so God bless you.
Oh,
we
you
appreciate
did. Okay.
you. Appreciate you coming in there and obeying the Lord with us tonight. So,
God bless.
Okay, keep me in prayer, Brother Yearwood. I've been having a time with whatever this is. I don't know what it is. I've been short of breath. But anyhow, hope to hear y'all Friday night on our program.
Yeah, Lord's willing, don't happen. We'll be there with you.
Okay.